Well, let me get right to it. Let me ask you this. What's the best Christmas gift you've ever gotten? Don't tell me, but just in your head there. What's the best Christmas gift you've ever gotten? What's the best Christmas gift you've ever gotten? Good, sweet memories, right? Hopefully are coming to mind. I'm going to tell you my favorite Christmas gift. It was action figures, okay? Why are you laughing? Why action figures? Hulk Hogan. Yes, I was a Hulkamaniac, okay? I was a Hulkamaniac. And Rowdy Piper. How many of you know Hulk Hogan, Rowdy Piper? Yeah, you wrote, okay, we got some, what do you call these? Hulkamaniacs, and we got some WWF, that's the original, right? Before the Wildlife Federation took our name. But anyways, the WWF, they were my favorite action figures. Let me tell you the story. So when I went to the store with my mom, right? And I don't remember for sure, don't quote me on this because I don't know, but I think it was Woolworth. Anybody remember Woolworth? All right, I think it was Woolworth down on 14th Street in Manhattan. My mom and I, we went, and she's just casually pretending like she's just there for whatever, Band-Aids or I don't know. So she's there, and she walks me down the toy aisle, and of course, I gravitate to Hulk Hogan, the action figure, not the doll. Hulk Hogan, the action figure, and Rowdy Piper, and I'm playing with them. And she casually asks, so what do you want for Christmas, right? And I'm thinking, well, hello, like these guys right here, right? But to be honest with you, I never quite got what I wanted for Christmas. My Christmases just weren't like that. Just to give you an idea, one Christmas, and Mom, Dad, I love you, but they got me a cologne called Day Off, and it smelled like it was a day off, maybe like a hard day's work, maybe even. But, you know, so I'm not the type that I got, you know, all the fancy gifts. I never really got what I wanted. I'd ask for it, of course. Who doesn't? But I never really got what I wanted. And this year, I said Hulk Hogan and Rowdy Piper, but I never thought I'd get Hulk Hogan and Rowdy Piper. So guess what? That Christmas morning, I'm just going to open up gifts. I just know whatever's there, it's probably not going to be Hulk Hogan, Rowdy Piper. I'm not even thinking about that. I'm thinking it's just, you know, whatever it is, at the end of the day, it's a toy, right? So whatever it is, I'll take it. And here's the reality. We know this as parents. Your kids, they're just happy to unwrap anything. Like if you put a box inside a box, they'll play with the box that's inside the box. Like kids are just gonna play with whatever is there. So parents, you know, don't feel that much pressure to get the most expensive things, because sometimes we get our kids the expensive things and what happens? They're playing with the box that the expensive thing came in, right? So I'm not thinking anything of it, but I go early Christmas, by the way, for years, for the last 44, 45 years now, this will be my 45th Christmas, for the last 44 years, I've always been the first one up in the morning. Like even now, I'm up earlier than my kids are for Christmas. I just love Christmas morning. I'm super up. I'm up early, and I go to unwrap the gifts, and when I unwrap the gifts, would you know it, Hulk Hogan and Rowdy Piper are there. I was in all my glory. I mean, I just loved every moment. I was just so shocked, like I can't believe these guys. And I must have played with them for like 12 years after that. Like, I loved that gift. It was such a great gift. I loved it, and it was just an amazing gift. And you probably, I hope you have a really amazing gift like that. And if you don't have it, I pray that this be the year that you get that amazing Christmas gift. But that was my amazing Christmas gift. I used to believe that people that really love us get us what we want, right? And then I matured a little, and then I said, well, no, it's not just what we want. People that really love us get us what we need. So men, you're going to get some socks this year, just so you know. But we think about, no, they give us what we need. But I've learned that those are partially true. Like, people that genuinely love us, they give us the things we want, and they also give us the things we need, but I've learned that people who genuinely love us give us the things they want for us. What they would want for us. They give us the things that you probably wouldn't get for yourself, but this is what I would like you to have. It's a both and. It's not all about you, but the gift is something about what you want, but it's also about what I want you to have. When it came to God, God is no different. He gives us that perfect example that God didn't just give us what we wanted. He didn't just give us what we needed, but rather he gave us what he wants for us. Well, what am I talking about? Two things that God gave us in giving us Jesus. He gave us two things. He gave us adoption and he gave us forgiveness. He gave us adoption and forgiveness. We're going to go back to John chapter 1 that we've been reading for some time now and getting acquainted. And John has already told us some really good things about Jesus and why he came. He came to give us life, and that life would be the light of man. Jesus came to show us his glory, and his glory was filled with grace and truth. And we saw the glory of God, not just in his truth, but also in his grace. We talked about that last week. But today, I want you to know that he came also to give us adoption and forgiveness. Let's read. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verses 9 through 13, it says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." Speaking of Jesus, the true light is coming into the world. "He was in the world, and the world was made through him." We've already read that, and we know this, that everything that is made was made through Christ. "Yet the world did not know him." That is really interesting to me. The whole world was created through Jesus, but the world did not know him. Doesn't that sound odd to you? Doesn't that kind of answer some questions about life a little bit there? Think about it. I know the iPhone, although they call it a smartphone, I know it's not that smart, but imagine it were that smart. It would be like the iPhone not knowing who Steve Jobs is. Could you imagine an iPhone that you went, "Hey Siri, who made you?" And the iPhone saying, "I have no clue. Bill Gates? I don't know. Who made me? I don't know." No, you'd expect that the iPhone, I know it's an inanimate object, but you would expect that the iPhone would know its maker. It would be in its best interest to know its maker. It would be like the light bulb not knowing who Thomas Edison is, right? It would be like that. You would think that if you don't know your maker, then obviously do you even know your purpose? Do you even know why you exist? Do you even know the intention of your maker? This is interesting because this helps us. Like, who knows the purpose to our lives? Our maker. Jesus knows the purpose to our lives. God knows the purpose to our lives. If I want to know my purpose, I don't ask you. I don't ask someone else. I go straight to the source. Who made me? And why did you make me? What's my purpose? He says, he came to the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Crazy. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That is loaded. That is loaded right there. That to those that believed in him, to those that received him, to those that said, "You are my God," he says, "I gave a right to them. I gave a right to them." What right? The right to be called children of God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? The right to become children of God. Oprah, I'm sure she's a wonderful lady, but I beg to differ with her when she says that we're all children of God. Because The Bible clearly states that not all received him. Not all believed him. But it was those that received and believed, we have the right to be called children of God. The right to be called children of God. Now, let me ask you this. What's a right? Let's just go right there for a moment. What is a right? A right is an entitlement. A right is a privilege. It is an authorization that you've got. It's a right. It's your right to do something. You're authorized. You're entitled to something. Back in 2018, our family was invited by our sister-in-law, which is a, or was, she's retired now, but she was a sergeant at One Police Plaza in New York City. And she was a sergeant, and she invited us to go see the Christmas tree lighting. And we're like, Christmas tree lighting, have to wait in the cold for hours, have to be surrounded by tens of thousands of people. You can't even, once you find your spot, you really can't use the restroom if you need to. You kind of have to stay there. Freezing cold temperatures in December, no, not for us. And she tells us, wait. Don't worry about it. I have a spot for us. She was a sergeant at One Police Plaza. She says, no, and I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I hope I don't get the NYPD in trouble on this one. She says, no. NYPD, we have a spot for our friends and our family. And it's right there, right in front of the tree. And I'm like, what? Yeah. You got to come. You got to come. And we take care of everything. So we said, so we don't have to wake up early. We don't have to be standing there for hours. She goes, no. You come after work. And you know, we're from this area. We know that you don't just show up to Rockefeller Center saying, hey, I want to get to the front of the tree. You just don't do that. But we worked a full day's work, 6 o'clock, punched out and said, okay, we're headed to New York. Kids, let's get in the van. Everybody got in the van. We headed out to New York. When we get to New York, you can imagine there are streets that are blocked all around that tree for miles. So we get to as close as we can possibly get. We drive there, we park the car, and we walk up. And there's a police officer saying, sir, sorry, you can't get past this barricade. This is it. So we call her. We say, hey, listen, we're here. There's this police officer, doesn't know apparently who we are. And he told us that we can't go further than this point. She says, don't worry, I'll come by. She came. She's about this tall. All right, she's a cute little lady. But, I mean, she's not that little, but, you know, she's just a regular lady size, Hispanic lady size, right? So she comes, and all she does is she shows her badge. Now, this badge has some power, right? Because as soon as she showed her badge, she says, oh, they're with me. And the guy, oh, okay. And he stepped to the side, let us go, and we went. And we start walking several blocks to get to our final destination. As we're getting really close to the tree, like this is the last block, and the Rockefeller Center tree is right there. As we get in there, all of a sudden, we start walking up a little ahead of her. So she has her, you know, shorter legs, and we are just walking, and we get to this police officer that has this massive. Now, this guy didn't have the small gun. He had the big one, right? And he is taller than the last guy, too. He's bigger, taller. Everything about him is better, like everything. And he's standing there, and he's like, ah! He screams at us, and we're like, hey, don't shoot. Like, it's okay. She comes over. She shows the badge, and he, like, steps aside, and we were like, wow, Laura, where can I get that badge? Because it's just so powerful, that thing you've got. So we walked. But here's the reason I'm telling you this. It's because I realized something that day. We got to places that we could never get to before, not because of who we were, but because of who we were with. She had a right to be there, and she gave us the right. She says, I have authorization, and now they also have authorization. We didn't have the badge like she did, but she gave us the authorization. That is what a right is. You have that authorization. Right? Like without Jesus Christ, you cannot say, I am a child of God. You can say it, but you won't, it won't be real. But with Jesus, you can say, like we sang just a moment ago, I am a child of God. Because to all those that believed, to all those that received him, he gave us the right to be called children of God. The Bible says that we were his own, but was he ours? He says, well, if you believed in me, but to all who believed, all who received in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You are a child of God if you have believed and if you have received Christ. You are a child of God. You're not an accident. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. And I want you to just think about that for a moment. What does it mean to be a child of God? I want to read this again. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And watch this. Who were born not out of blood, nor out of the will of the flesh, nor out of the will of man, but the will of God. We are children of God, born not out of a man's will, but born out of God's will. I have a friend that I work with, and he and his wife recently adopted their daughter. And he recently was talking to us, and he was talking about things that we should avoid saying. We who don't have adopted children, or we that don't know what that process is like, things that we should, and this is good, things that we should avoid saying. One of the things he says, they try never to say that she is adopted. They never say she is adopted. They say she was adopted. And the reason they say is that we don't want that to be kind of this stigma that makes it look like she is less than us. She was adopted. The adoption happened one time, and it was in the past. She's not continually being adopted. So she was adopted. He says we try to avoid saying she is adopted. We say she was adopted. He says another thing that we want to avoid saying as parents of adopted children, people will often ask the question, do you have any children of your own? He says, well, no. What they mean is, do we have any biological children? But that's different because we've already adopted our daughter. So she is our own. She belongs to us. She is part of the family. And she, even though she was adopted, now as an adopted child, she has all the rights and privileges as their biological child. It does not make a difference. I thought that was powerful and a great way to look at the idea of adoption. Adoption isn't something that's continual. It's something that happened. And adoption doesn't mean that we are less than in any way. It just means we were adopted. We were brought into the family. And I love the fact that the Bible says that we are children of God. We've been adopted into the family of Christ. But that does not mean that we're lesser in any way. It doesn't mean that we don't have all the full rights and privileges of a child. He's gave us the right to become children of God. Watch this. And we're born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I want to tell you something. I don't know how you were born. I don't know if you were born out of an illicit marriage or an illicit affair. I don't know if you were born out of wedlock in any way. I don't know if you were born out of just a crime. I don't know if you were born and your parents thought that they did everything to close the factory, like we say, and then you came and you surprised your parents. I don't know any of that. I don't know any of that, but what I do know is that you are a legitimate child. that you were not an accident, that I was not an accident, that none of us, we may not have been in a man's or a woman's plans, but we were always in God's plan. We've always been in God's plans. There's always been a purpose. God knew what he was doing. So if you're here today and you're breathing and you're alive, you should live rejoicing that God had a plan for you, that God knew you, that you're just as good as anybody else. There's no one better than you. There's no one worse than you. You are just as good. You have all the same rights. And if you have believed in Jesus and you have received him, the Bible says not only are you a child of a man or a woman, but you're a child of God, which is even greater than that. In fact, the Bible says that even if our father and mother would abandon us, God will still pick us up. I mean, he'd still be there for us. I love what John says later in John 3, verse 1. He says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world doesn't know us is that they did not know him." So the first thing that we have as believers, we have adoption. We're sons and we're daughters of the King. We're sons and daughters of God. We are children of God. One of the things that I try to do with my kids and my family is that I try to instill, as much as I can, I try to instill a sense of pride in who they are. I try to instill in them this idea that, you know, you're not just anybody, but rather you're a Nieves. And as a Nieves is, this is how we do things. We don't do it like these other people do it. Maybe the Harrys or the Johnsons do it that way. And that's, you're good for the Johnsons and whatever their name is. But for us, this is how we do it. You see, it is our sonship, our daughtership, that then causes us to behave certain ways. When you know who you are, when you know who you belong to, then you start acting out in who you are and who you belong to. You start acting that out. So you are a child of God. The second thing that God gave us through Jesus Christ was that he gave us forgiveness. Now, we have a tendency to minimize our sins. We have a tendency to think that our sins aren't that big a deal, that our sins aren't that sinful. But here's the issue. It doesn't matter how great your sin is or how not so great your sin is by your judgment. Sin is sin, and the punishment of sin is death. It's always been death. When Adam and Eve took the fruit, there was an animal that had to die in their place so that God could give them a covering. Sin has always caused death. It has always caused death. In the Old Testament, we read that without a sacrifice, there would be no remission of sin. There would be no atonement for sin. Exodus 29:36 says, "And every day you shall offer a bull as a sin offering for atonement." Atonement just means restitution. It means a satisfaction. So that you can be forgiven, there needs to be an animal sacrifice. And all throughout the Old Testament, we see this. We see this in Leviticus 9, verse 7. It says, "Then Jesus said to Aaron, 'Draw near to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering and make atonement for yourselves and for the people.'" What he's talking about, a sin offering, it was an animal that was being sacrificed, an animal that was shedding his blood or her blood for the sinner, standing in the place of the sinner. Hebrews makes it even clearer for us. Hebrews 9:22 says, "Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin." Sin causes death. Sin causes death. It doesn't matter how big or small it is. When you think about, if you really want to think about simple sins that have caused a whole lot of damage, just think about Adam and Eve, right? What did they do? How sinful was their sin? They took a fruit Heard a comedian once say, he's never been tempted by a fruit. He says, you know, you'd have to put some candy on that stuff, like in order to tempt me with a fruit, like, you know, put some, I don't know, some good stuff on that fruit in order that the fruit would be tempting. But the reality is that even that initial first sin was such a simple, the act itself was simple. For us, when we think about sin, let us not belittle sin by the act, but let's consider sin by the cost. What makes something worth a lot is the cost, right? Like if I took this pen right here and I said, hey, this pen right here, I'll sell it to you for 25 cents, right? And if I said, I'll give it to you for 25 cents, you'd say, I might take it, I might be interested. But you might say, no, I can get another pen for 25 cents, no big deal, I don't need that one. But then if I put this in a glass case, and I put it with over a velvet top, and I said, hey, now take it. I put some light on it, and I said, hey, this pen, this same exact pen, now costs $500. Something about it might intrigue you. So now you think about the cost of the pen. What makes it valuable is actually the cost. It's not so much what it is, but it's actually the price that's placed on it. When you think about sin, what makes sin so bad? The cost. Because the cost is death. The cost is death. Watch this. John says to us, he's talking about John the Baptist now. He says, the next day he, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming down toward him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus came to bring us forgiveness, to take away our sin. This is beautiful. Because you say, I don't know if you've ever asked this, but I've asked this. Why did Jesus have to die? Why did it have to be death? Well, when you think about it, not only was he dying for your sin, he was dying for my sin. And immediately you said, I get it. Pastor Rob's sin is really what brought it over the hump. No, he was dying for your sin. He was dying for my sin. He was dying for all our sins here, all our sins outside of here. He was dying for all the sins that have ever been committed, present, past, and future sins of the whole world. When you think about that, you say, wow, Jesus really did take up a lot of burden. He died for all sin, for the sin of the world, for the present, for the past, and the future. This is he whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me. John the Baptist is saying this. Because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. This is John the Baptist. This is what he is saying about Jesus. He said, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. He goes, wait a second. Let me tell you, John the Baptist is here speaking. He says, I saw. When I baptized Jesus, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. Could you imagine being John the Baptist and getting all this proof that who you thought was the Messiah, now you're seeing, wow, this really is the Messiah. This really is the one that he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This is crazy. I myself did not know him, John the Baptist admits, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. Jesus was forgiving us. But what is forgiveness now? What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is a clean slate. It's a clean slate. Everything you did, everything you've done, everything you will do, a clean slate. you get to start over. You get a redo or an undo button. Like, it's like a clean slate. Let me see if I can illustrate forgiveness for you. Forgiveness is like you're living in my home and you're with me, and one day you decide to burn my house up purposefully. Forgiveness says, hey, don't worry about it. I'll pay for the restoration of my home and you don't have to pay me anything. That's what forgiveness is. That's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is, I'm gonna start you fresh. And I'm not gonna charge it to you. I'm not gonna charge it to your account. I'm not gonna hold it over your head. Hey, remember I forgave you? Remember that? Remember that day when I forgave you? Like, that's forgiveness. Genuine forgiveness is, no, I'll pay for it. You don't have to worry about it. It's my loss, I'll pay for it. God takes it a step further. He says, not only will I pay for it, not only will I not charge you for it, but I also invite you back in. And you get to start all over. We just sang this song, your mercies are new over and over. The mercies of God are new every single morning. Aren't you grateful for that? Isn't it good to know that God's mercy, they're new for me? Like every morning you wake up, you may not smell the smell of bacon, but you smell the smell of a new mercy. That's better than bacon. And I don't just say those kind of things because I love bacon. Anyway, let's get back to scripture. This is what Jesus says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Jesus came that we would receive forgiveness. Forgiveness. Let's go back to what I told you before. God's gifts tell us something about what God wants for us. Remember I told you that people who really love you, they don't just give you the things you want or the things you need, but they give you the things that they want for you. And it's awesome when you think about it, because God didn't just give us adoption. He didn't just bring us into his family, but he also gave us forgiveness. And it says something about God, doesn't it? You know what it says about God? It says, I want you with me. It says that God wants relationship with us. It says that what God's desire for us this Christmas and really every day, what God desires for us is that he wants relationship with us. To me, one of the best things I love about scripture is the Sabbath day in creation. When God creates the whole world, it takes him 6 days to create the whole world, and then the Bible says that he rested on the Sabbath day. To me, that is one of the most beautiful pictures. In my mind, what I see is God just enjoying his creation and enjoying fellowship and time with us, enjoying that sweet, sweet time with us. What does God want of me? What does God want for me? God just wants relationship with you. Relationship with you. You know, there's people that say, well, I think hell is just too severe. And I used to think that. But I realized that God, all he wants is, he just wants to love me. That he just wants a relationship with me. That all he's doing is seeking me for love and to bless me and to be with me. Like, that's all that God wants. Like, everything God wants for me is good. To reject that kind of love for a lifetime, if I can reject that kind of love for a lifetime, I don't know, but all of a sudden hell kind of seems appropriate. Like it almost seems like, wait a minute. Someone has loved you and pursued you this much. Someone has blessed you this much, and you would still deny for your entire life, and you would still reject that kind of love? That's the kind of love God has for us. I wish the world would understand that that's really the simplicity of it all. That God just wants relationship with us. And that by having relationship with God, we get to live the best life ever. We get to live the best life. By the way, I know some of us, we think about a book when we hear that. And we've seen people criticize the author. But the reality is, I believe that God wants us to live our best life now. Like he wants us to live our best life forever. Now, I will tell you that the best life has nothing to do with material wealth or with riches. But the reality is that when you have a relationship with God, you're living the best life. I may not have it all. I may not have all the riches, all the wealth in the world. But man, if I am living close to Jesus and in relationship with God, on my worst day, I'm living a good life. On my worst day. So today, I want to remind you that you are a child of God, that you've been adopted, and that if you have received Jesus Christ, and if you have believed in him, that not only are you a child of God, but you are a forgiven child of God. And that's just my question for you. Are you living like you are a forgiven child of God? Are you living that way? I hope you are, because if you're not, you're missing out. You've got sonship. You've got daughtership in Christ. Like, because Christ came and died for us, now you are adopted into the body of Christ, into the family of Christ. Like, you're part of us. We're part of you. Not only that, he is for us, and he is a part of us, and we are a part of him as well. We're all one family. Let's start living in that relationship. And we can live in that relationship because we've been forgiven. I didn't have to pay the penalty of my sin, and you didn't have to pay the penalty of your sin. Like, I don't have to be a child of wrath anymore, but I can be a child of God and live in a way that honors and pleases God. And when I live in a way that honors and pleases God, I'm really living in alignment with who God wants me to be. I'm living according to, there's no last names in God, but I'm living according to my last name, child of God. Are you living that forgiven child life before God? And if you're not, today is a wonderful day for you to say, you know what, this Christmas, what I want is I want to receive Christ. What I want is I want to believe in Christ. This Christmas, that's what I want. Here's the deal. On Christmas morning, some of us will gather around a Christmas tree and someone might offer a gift. And the only way that gift actually becomes yours is not because the person paid for it, but rather that gift is actually yours when you receive it. All they're doing is offering it. And until you reach out your hands and you grab it and you say, this is mine, that gift is not yours. It still belongs to that person. It's the same thing with God. Jesus Christ came, died, so that we can be saved. He did all the hard work. He did all the labor. He went out and purchased your forgiveness. He went out and purchased my forgiveness. And he's saying, here it is. Here it is. But now he waits on us to say, I want it. I'll take it. I believe it. I receive it. And the Bible says that if you would believe and if you would receive, you will have the right to be called a child of God. You will be entitled to that title. You would have the authorization, the full authorization to say, I am a child of God. If you are here and you don't know that, you need to know that. And if you've never said, Lord Jesus, I receive you. I receive the gift that you've offered of salvation. Let today be that day. Let today be the day where you say, Lord, I receive it. I believe it. Amen. Let us pray.